We're going to read from St. Luke's Gospel. If you'd like to stretch your legs, you can stand for the reading of the Gospel. Hopefully you have to, but there are some churches where you always do that for the reading of the Gospel. Reading from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verses 13 to 35. Gospel according to St. Luke. 24:13 to 35. This is New Revised Standard Version today, but whatever version you're using, we pray will help you. Now on that same day, two of them, that's the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." And this is the good news about Jesus. Thanks be to God. May he teach us from his word, as Lily now comes and opens that scripture for us.
It could be said that, if you've ever thought about it, that the letter D is one of the saddest letters in the English language. Because the letter D begins the word depression, disappointment, discouragement, devastation. I'm not talking about people's names here either, Danny, it's okay. Danny or David, you're let off, whatever. But despondency and doubt and defeat, death and desperate, and diet as well. And I did say just words, not names of people. But movie producer Woody Allen once gave the commencement address at Yale University, and he said, "Our civilization stands at the crossroads. Down one road is despondency and despair. Down the other is total annihilation. I hope that we'll take the right road. Woody Allen was trying to be funny, but his statement reflects something of the despair of our times. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despair and death. All of these words sum up how Cleopas and his companion were feeling as they trudged down the road or up the road to Emmaus. They'd left the downhearted and confused band of disciples who were afraid and bewildered over what had happened to Jesus on that Good Friday. And the two men, as they travelled along the road to Emmaus, were also sad and disillusioned. Because the master that they had loved and followed had been horribly put to death, when only a short time before their hopes had risen and they were excited when the excited crowds welcomed Jesus, waving palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." But now Jesus laid in a sealed tomb. Their hopes were dashed. The dream was over. And even the report of the women that Christ's tomb was empty didn't raise their spirits. It only confused them even more, saying, "We had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. We had hoped." Human hope is a fragile thing, and when it withers, it can be difficult to revive. And there are some people who feel they can't live any longer because they feel their hope has been sucked out by discouragement and by despair. And there are many of us who lose hope on our journey too. "We had hoped," Cleopas and his friend had said. They were saying, "We didn't expect it now, but we once did. We had high hopes for the future, but now those hopes have been gone, and all we have left is disappointment." And when that disappointment hits, it can really take us down. I guess you too can identify with the feelings of these disciples. For each of us, the cause of feeling down might be different. But it would be a rare person indeed who could claim that they were not affected by any of those D words: disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, depression, despair. But as the two men walked along, a stranger joined them. And this was going to be one of the most significant walks in their whole lives. The stranger asked what they were discussing, and they poured out their hearts to someone who was willing to listen. A short while ago, I was struggling with something, and I found the counsel of a wise and trusted friend. My friend sat and listened. My friend didn't give any advice. She simply listened, and she nodded in the right places, and she murmured now and then. And that's all I needed, someone to listen. Well, this man who appears on the road to Emmaus provides a listening ear to the two travellers. And as the three men talk of their despair and disappointment, the stranger walks with them. He chooses to walk with them in their disappointment. Isn't that a great, comforting picture? Jesus walking along the road with his despondent disciples, sharing their troubles. And we sometimes are despondent disciples, and he walks the road with us too. So suddenly this 2,000-year-old story is brought into the present. Is that a picture of the Salvation Army at its best? Walking together with Jesus, with those who are finding life difficult and confusing. But how about us individually? When disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, depression, discouragement and despair fill our lives, do we walk with Jesus? The unseen one walking alongside us, listening to us, and if we're willing to hear his voice revealing himself to us. And we still perhaps have to travel the journey of depression, but we travel with him. Jesus on the Emmaus Road reassures Cleopas and his friend through scripture of the Old Testament, perhaps like Isaiah 53. "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. And they needed this reassurance because they'd forgotten. And we need that assurance too, because sometimes we too forget. Verse 25-26 then says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You fools, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?'" Well, it might sound rather surprising that Jesus calls the travellers fools. Fools. You may well have been caught out on Friday, by Alec maybe, with being an April Fool's, but we don't wish to be that kind of fool. In the original Greek of the New Testament, there are different words for the English word fool, each with a different meaning. And the word fool, as featured in the Road to Emmaus, means unwise, lacking in understanding. And one should add that this lack of understanding is self-created. That is, one only has oneself to blame for this lack of understanding. Now that's foolish. And how did Jesus deal with these foolish disciples? Well, he went back to the drawing board. He reminded them of Scripture, and he reminded them of God's promises. Because sometimes we too can be very foolish. When the going gets tough, when we're downhearted, we have the evidence before us that Jesus travels with us, that he understands, and that he can remove the heavy veil from our eyes. We have the resources to help us, and yet we're often foolish. I'm slowly regaining my Australian accent, as you can tell, I'm told. And with that, I'm picking up Australian phrases, some new, some old, and some that I'd be better off not rekindling. But one of those is, we all have the tools in the tool shed, is that right? I know that you mean the opposite, don't you? Sometimes that can be a negative connotation. But I think that's a positive way of speaking that phrase. I'm going to use it in this instance anyway, and it'll catch on. You see, we have the tools, we have the resources, but friends, I don't think we really rely on them enough, and I preach to myself too. These friends on the road knew their scripture, but did they really rely on it enough? And do we? It really spoke to me yesterday at the Thanksgiving service for Russell about how much of a man of God's word he was and how much of it he lived as well. Wouldn't you love someone to say that about you at your Thanksgiving service? I'd like that at mine too, if it's true. Let's not be fools. Let's use God's word even more than we do, in conversation with each other, to encourage each other. Keep using it. And do you know that you can join an Emmaus Road group? Well, okay, we call them Bible studies here. But there are Bible studies available for every one of you. And if need be, we'll create even more groups. Why not think about joining one? Because why wouldn't you want to discuss scripture with a fellow traveller? A fellow traveller who is travelling the same, similar kind of journey with you. But we're all different. We all have our own different D words to cope with. Verse 14 indicates that the men were talking about everything. And we can often do that too, talking about everything and focusing on things that perhaps we shouldn't be talking about, and not focusing on God's word enough. We too can become distracted from the important. And you'll agree that it was a very beautiful tribute yesterday when one of Russell's granddaughters sang, if you remember the song, was "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And isn't that simply what we need to do? We can easily make excuses as to why we're not delving into Scripture enough. Isn't it time that we took personal responsibility and forgot those distractions and simply turn our eyes on him, to focus on him, to stop the excuses and look to him? Now, it's not that these two men hadn't read their Bibles, but that their understanding was clouded by the idea that the Messiah would come with glory and power and majesty and rain down on their enemies. In a similar way, do our expectations get in the way of seeing God? Do we get distracted by our own expectations? God is always doing something new, always doing something new. And God works in his way, not ours. But it's much easier to see and to acknowledge that when you're not going through that, to acknowledge that when you're going through, when you're not going through a difficult time. But those difficult times come to us all. I'm not certain that Trevor's Friday walking group walks 7 miles, do you? Okay, show off. I ran 5 yesterday, not really. Perhaps okay, 6 miles, that's impressive. But on this 7 mile walk on this day on the road to Emmaus, that walk changed the disciples' lives forever. They could feel the despondency and sorrow they felt in their hearts change into understanding and hope as their companion explained that Jesus' death was part of God's great plan of salvation. They hadn't been able to see God's bigger picture because they had been focused on their own disappointment. I wonder how many times does Jesus come to us and we don't recognise him? When the friend who stays and listens to us and to your problems, when the stranger who helps and stays with you, the person who offers you a lift, the kindness shown by someone's hospitality, perhaps you haven't recognised him either. When disillusionment, depression, and defeat dominate our lives, Jesus walks with us just as he walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus. He walks with us on our own Emmaus road. And we trust him to bring hope from despair. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9 says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck but down, but not destroyed." And so the two disciples asked the stranger to stop with them for the night. And at the evening meal, he took the bread and he said the blessing, and then he broke the bread and he gave it to them. Just as he did the night before he died on the cross, he gave thanks, just as he did when he fed the 5,000. And again, in this instance, he models prayer for us. And so suddenly the light went on. It dawned on them. Jesus himself administered to them in their sadness. And when they recognised Jesus in the breaking of the bread, everything changed for the disciples in Emmaus. Despair turned to wonderment and delight. Everything changed. Because of his love for his despondent disciples, graciously Jesus came and met them, and he comes and meets us on our road to Emmaus. Graciously, he clears the fog away from confusion, and he showed them the heart of God, and then he vanishes from their sight. But today he is not gone. He is still alive. He is still risen. He is still living. He still is risen, and he is still visible to those who have the eyes of faith. This story is a story about the meaning of Easter for us all. It enables us to see that the risen Lord gives hope and joy when all we see is disappointment, discouragement and despair. It enables us to see the world not as a place of death, decay and defeat, but as a place of waiting, groaning towards God's final victory, and the risen Jesus is walking with us. The same Jesus who travels with you also travels with his other disciples. And perhaps we may like to think about being a better travelling companion to others. And maybe one of those ways that we can be so is by being that listening ear for someone. I've noticed a change in the church in this denomination, and over some years, I sound really old, don't I? I probably am. But you know how things come in and go out of fashion? Well, it seems to be the thing right now, and it has been for a while. The thing is to have a mentor. And some people are quite proud of who their mentor is, and that's nice and it's biblical. But I myself would prefer the term accountability partner. And some of you might have that relationship, that kind of relationship already with each other, where there's no formal arrangement, but you know someone who you can trust. You can find a trusted person to talk to and even walk with, and that's good. That's great, but please don't substitute that relationship for the one that really matters, the one with Jesus himself. And that's the good news to anyone who is travelling, you might feel are travelling alone at the moment. because Jesus travels with you. Jesus is the one who you can really trust. And Jesus is the one who has the power to change things. And Jesus is the only one who's truly dependable. In conclusion, the road to Emmaus isn't just a nice after Easter story, reminding us that we don't need to be a lone traveller. The road to Emmaus is a way of life, where walking with Jesus naturally results in passion that only comes from God, a burning passion to share the story with others. Maybe not in the middle of the night, but if your heart is burning, I'm sure there's someone to minister to at any hour. Join the Street Safe Salvos team if you want to. But the question today is your heart burning? Tozer said, "To have found God and still to pursue him is a soul's paradox of love, scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist, but justified in happy experience by the children of the burning heart." Today it could feel that you're travelling in the wrong direction. Well, in the same way that God restored others in his living word, you can be restored too. The power in which Jesus came back to life from the dead is available through the cross to you today as well. And sometimes, friends, we don't depend on his power enough. If the disciples had not invited Jesus in, they would never have recognised him, the breaking of the bread. Because Jesus never forces himself upon us. He waits to be invited in. And perhaps if we don't have that burning within our hearts, invite him in again today, because he is thoroughly dependable, and we have heard testimony today about how dependable he is. He is thoroughly dependable, and he's my deliverer.